Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings, greetings. This is your brother, King. Coming to you live with my show. Today, we're talking about something very important. We're talking about that money. Yes, we are. First, let me do an assertion. As I walk the path of being Addison Garrett, I will keep my mind focused on this metric show. By doing this, I'll be walking the path of the light and knowledge that what I want. Why do I do that before every show? Well, it's part of a ritual that we in society do. And the object of the thought process, your frequency, is to keep you moving toward what you really want, what you're trying to do, what you're trying to become. The whole thing from the song to this is all about that. The anthem is The Age of Freedom Has Come. It's something that has to be won until you're ready to work for it. Evil will not let you be. Brownstein, you have to work for your freedom. It's not going to just jump up and get and come to you, you know? So everything about this show is designed to uplift the 99%. Okay, the 1% don't need uplifting. They strictly own the doggy dog, own the doggy dog concept. And it works for them. They have a $5 million houses and boats and yachts and all that, you know. So some of them, I can't say all of them, but, you know, some of the 1% do work towards upliftment of humanity. All of them haven't fallen off the boat just yet, you know. But this show is designed for those who feel as though, man, we don't have a chance. It is so hard. We don't have the money. We don't have the access. I come from a poor family. For generations, we've been poor. You know? And I can't seem to get out of this rut that I'm in. Well, that's what we're here for. Right? We're here to bring you into the reality of who you are. We have a society, Elohim Five Shots, Society of Love, from the constellation Elohim, commonly known as Orion or constellation Cyrus. We call it constellation Elohim. So our whole premise is to really wake you up out of the matrix. You're caught up in the matrix, and you think you're awoke running around doing things, but like the matrix, just sleep. A lot of you have never been woke. You know what it is to be awake, you know? But more and more around the globe, you're beginning to wake up. I'm a Bible thumper. Now, I call myself a Bible thumper, but that has gotten a negative connotation over the years. I use the Bible as a code book, not a religious book, because it's not a religious book, okay? The Bible is not a Christian book. The Christians use it as their main book, but it's not a Christian book. The people in the book aren't Christian, okay? Christianity was started as we know it today, okay? Close to 300 years after Yahshua ben Sandara, whom you call Jesus, left. And we use this as a format because the code for you not to be poor, the code for you to gain power, to realize who you are, is all in the book. Now, they have been misrepresenting the book so much that people are putting the book on the side. They don't even read it no more because they don't know how to read it. And if you read the book from a religious, what they call religion, I call it cult, from a cult perspective, it don't make sense because there's so much wrong with it the way you're reading it. You follow what I'm saying? Okay. Now, I'm going through this because the system that we're going to be talking about for the children to get out of this mess, because that's where we have to begin. I'm a Delta, so caught up. They won't even talk to me after a while because I'll be bringing them the absolute reality of what the book is saying. And that bothers them because, you know, when a person sleeps and you go to wake them up, especially they're in that realm of sleep, oh, man, it feels so good. Why are you waking me up? Why are you bothering me, man? You know what I mean? Some of them will beat you up for trying to wake them up. They love being asleep. It feels so good to be asleep, you know? Well, we're coming to wake you up. I'm mad. You can get mad if you want. That's fine. You know? But we're still coming to wake you up. All right? And the system that we're talking about now was developed from the Bible, believe it or not. and it will help your children accomplish their dreams. Don't matter how poor you are, how little limited your education is or whatever, it can help you do all of that, and that's why we're here for it. So today, every Thursday, we're going to be talking about economics. So tune in, find out about economics. Let's start off with where economics is. Economics is somebody else working and paying you. Wait a minute. Who's going to work and pay me, man? You know what I mean? That don't even make sense. That's what economics is, okay? Somebody or something working and paying you. If you had an apartment building and you rented it out, the people would be working and paying you rent. Hello? Yeah, they're working and paying you rent. If you had, if you wrote a song, okay, the song would bring you, people would work and buy your song. They'll be working and paying you for your music, okay? People working and paying you. So you have to have something to sell for people to pay you for it, all right? Even if you ain't doing it but making cookies or cupcakes or whatever you're making, you know, something that's to your neighbors, to your friends or whatever, just to bring a couple of extra dollars, okay? Now, here's the deal. You know, the system that I'm talking about, we're talking about the 50% budget. 50% budget. Now, all the experts talk about save 10%. You can't save 10% and get out of this mess. Because as soon as something goes wrong, that 10% is gone, out the window. That's it, you know? You can't, it's not going to work that way, all right? So there is a story in the Bible, story of Joseph. Joseph, what in the world has Joseph got to do with money? What in the world does Joseph have to do with me keeping money in my pocket? Well, we're not going to go through the whole story because the end of the story is where the code is, not in the whole story. The story is just to attract, keep your mind tuned so that you can get to the end of the story, all right? That's what the story is. That's what stories do. But the moral and the reality of what's going to be happening is at the end of the story. So when you go through this Bible, when you go through these books, and it's the end of the story that you want to focus on, that's where the codes are, right? I'm telling you, that's where the codes are. End of the story. What was so great that Joseph did? He saved Kemet, or what some of you call Egypt. He saved Egypt. How did he save Egypt? Well, Egypt, there was a famine coming. He knew the famine was coming. So he told Pharaoh, look, man, save half the crop, spend half the crop, eat half the crop, save half the crop, save half your crop every year for the next 7 years. So he told him, see what I'm saying? Save half your crop. That's the 50% budget, okay? Mainly for the children, because a lot of the adults so cool, they're going paycheck to paycheck. I'm showing them how to get out of that rut too. But we're going to, the first part of this show is designed for the children. Now, you adults, listen to this, because you have to make sure that your children get the message, all right? You tell them early, you know, I got a grandson, 5 years old, he get money, he say, hey, that's my 50% budget. It's in his mind already, he ain't but 5 or 6 years old. You know, get them this information as soon as possible. Long-term memory works, you know. Here's how you deal with the 50% budget. The 50% budget is designed so that you can accumulate money to get residual income. Let's talk about residual income right now, okay? Residual income is money that's coming in that once you do something, the money keeps coming in and you don't have to do that no more. That's residual income. Once you buy a building and you rent it out, you don't have to buy that building again. That money will keep coming in. That's residual income, okay? If you make a record or if you, I don't know about making cookies, I keep making the same cookies over and over. You got to make them cookies to get that money. You can't keep selling the same cookie unless you create a recipe and you sell the recipe. Now you got residual income because you don't have to make the recipe but once. and then people will be buying your recipe. All right. Okay. Now, money can make money for you. You have to get out of this job mentality. All right. You really have to get out of this job mentality. You really shouldn't be working a job no more than 5 to 10 years. If you've been on the job more than 10 years, you're really on the wrong side of the picture. You know, you should be able to retire from your job within 10 years. Okay. He told Pharaoh to 7 years, do this for 7 years. No? Now, if you did this for 7 years, that would be the ultimate reality. If you did what I'm going to say, 7 years, that would be great, you know? But you can do it for 2 years and begin getting out of the situation that you're in. We're going to go through all that in a few minutes here. How do you begin? You know, I'm in high school. I'm just getting ready to get out of high school. And there's very few jobs out there for me. I want to go to college, but my parents are poor. We don't have no money. And they charge an arm and a leg because this is how the middle class control, okay? This is how the middle class control the middle class. And who gets into the middle class? It's all about that money, you know? And you have to fight your way through, especially if you don't have no money. You have to work two jobs, you got to work at night, you got to go to school. Phew, it's tough. You know what I mean? They make it very difficult for you. Now, the upper middle class children that are making, parents making over $400,000 a year, they don't have to go through that struggle because the parents provide them with everything, the car, the books, money to go to school. They pay for it all. And the children, all they have to do is get in there and study. You dig what I'm coming from? And when they come out, the people that's making that kind of money, they use some kind of entrepreneur. They have small businesses, things of that nature, or they work in at a good place in a company. They can, and their children, they can find a good job for the children, making $25, $30 an hour minimum. You understand what I'm saying? That's what I'm talking about. But unfortunately, the majority of us don't make $400,000 a year. We're in the $20,000 a year bracket. Majority of us, that's what we're making. All right. Now, how do you get to Harvard making $20,000 a year? Oh, my goodness. How is that possible? Hey, well, we're going to tell you how it's possible. When you get out of high school, right, you might not be able to go to college the first couple of years. It might take you 3 years before you start college. Although it's good to go to college right away when you get out of school because your mind is fresh and ready, you know? But now you have to ask yourself, why am I going to Harvard? Why am I going to college at all? Am I going to college so I can land a better job and make more money? Make more money to do what? You know what I'm saying? See, the thought process that we have to change if we're going to change the paradigm of this planet. We can change this planet because people are the actual power of the planet. Now, the few people who are into the doggy dog thing, they're doing everything they can to make sure that the people don't rise up and take power. Every revolution started with the people. The people have to decide, look, hey, enough is enough. We're tired of this. And we're coming after you. You follow what I'm saying? Even your military. If you got a military, there's people. People have to pull the trigger. And if you convince enough people not to pull the trigger, the military ain't going to come against the people. They're not going to do it. They'll stop and join the people. You follow what I'm saying? That's the reality of what's going on. That's the reality of the power of the people. Now, let's get back to the topic that I have. We're talking about economics, okay? Now, here's what you tell your children. And you get your children, and you can download this app, download this episode and play it for your children so that they can hear it for themselves, right? And they can listen to it over and over and over. All these episodes are recorded. Now, here's what you do. Tell your child, I've said this many times, economics, because it's so important. It's a way out. That's what this is. It's a way out. Way out or way up, and however you, whichever way you want to call it. It's a way for you not to keep on the street. That's what I'm talking about. First thing you have to do, you find a job. When you get out of high school, you find a job. Don't be in a hurry to leave home. You know, pay your parents a little bit of money to stay there, but don't be in a hurry to leave home. The first thing you did, because you're going to have to, I'm saying it like it's easy, but it's not all that easy. The first thing you're going to have to do, you're going to have to find a job anywhere. It don't make no difference. Burger King, any of the fast food restaurants, cleaning, washing dishes, whatever you have to do, it don't make no difference. Because the job that you're going to have, they're not your career. Listen, the jobs that you're going to get, they're not your career. So don't get caught up on that, all right? Now, if you want to learn to do something to help humanity, that's why you go to college. You go to college to learn a skill that can help all of humanity. That's why you're supposed to be going. If you learn those kind of skills, you're gonna always get paid. Trust me. Now, because they got the children thing, we just go to college, learn more so you can get a better job. No, you go to college so you can learn how to help humanity. There's skills in those dormitories where you can help all of humanity, not just yourself. And if you got the skills to help all of humanity, oh, trust me, you're going to get paid. I'm college, you're going to get paid. All right? Now, here's what you do. You come out of school. You get that job, any kind of job, right? Remember, you put yourself on a 50% budget. Spend half, save half. The Bible says do that for 7 years, all right? Now, that's not bad. Do that for 7 years. That works, all right? You spend half, save half. Now, a lot of times it's difficult to do that. So what you do, most jobs pay $10,000 a year, most jobs. I don't care what kind of job it is. Close to $10,000 a year. The key is to get two jobs, right? Get two jobs, right? And you save one money from one job, you put aside, do not touch it. And the money from the other job, you live off, do whatever you have to do with that. Follow what I'm saying? And you can save money out of that $10,000 out of the first job. If you don't be in a hurry to leave your parents, okay? Now, you do that for 2 years. How am I going to work two jobs for 2 years? You have to manage the time. Here's how you manage the time. Each job will give you 2 days off if you work 5 days a week on a job. Okay? Now, you don't schedule your 2 days off at the same time because that really gets rough working 5 days a week, two jobs. That's tough. So you schedule it so that you work in a single shift for 5 days. See what I'm saying? You're working a single shift for 4 days and a double shift, right, for a double shift for 2 days. You're working a double shift for 2 days. Let me get this correct there now. Because you're getting 2 days off each job. That's 4 days, right? So on those 4 days off, you're working a double shift for 3 days. That's how that works. You're working a single shift every day for 4 days. And then you do a double shift for 3 days. You're working 7 days a week. You don't really get no days. Your days off will be that single shift. After that single shift is over, go home, rest, relax, study whatever you want to do, have fun or however. But those 4 days are your days off. That's when you got some free time because you're only working a single shift. And in 3 days, you're working a double shift. All you do is work, go home, and sleep. That's it. But you do that, you have two jobs. Right? You can handle that. Most of us can work 3 days double shift. Most of us can do that, all right? So you go home, take your break, sleep, do whatever you have to do. You do this for 2 years at $10,000 put aside for each year. That will give you $20,000, right? You take that $20,000. You go to sure sale, foreclosures. You bid on a property. Okay? It could be the best one to get would be a three-story building. Get a three-story building. Okay? You bid on a three-story building. You funk out the first floor, and that's like having a two-story house. Funk it out. Get the creature comforts in there. Get whatever you want in there and just chill. Got to give you that. Now, the next thing you do, you funk out the next two floors up, right? Second and third floor, you funk them out and you rent them out. Now you're living, don't cost you no money because somebody is working paying you rent, right? The reason why you do the first two floors, all right, because now you no longer have to stay with your parents. That automatically gives you a monthly increase because now you don't have to pay your parents' rent. You do where I'm coming from? Are you paying rent? Are you paying for the first part? Is your utilities, electric, gas, phone? And don't go crazy. You know, well, you don't have a, but you don't have to buy a little car. But don't try to get no big, huge, beautiful submarine. You know, to ride around with all the future comfort. It's not what you want to do. You know what I mean? You gotta have transportation. Buy transportation within your budget. Go down to the auction. Bid on something that drives real nice, and then you'll have a nice little car. The most important thing is that there is no note behind the car. All you have to do is pay for the maintenance and upkeep on the car. You don't have you have to pay that note every month. You don't want to be paying notes every month. You don't want to come out doing that, right? So this is how you buy that first car. But when you buy the car, right, you're going to pay a note on the car, but you pay the note to yourself. $200, $300 a month, that's what you're paying to yourself, not to a dealer. Now the money that the dealer would make, you're making yourself. So you can upgrade your car every 2 or 3 years. You can upgrade the car to a better car, until you have a position where you can buy cash up for a new car. You'll get to that, but not right away. You have to work your way towards all this stuff, okay? Now, you've got your building. The basement is nice. First floor is nice. That's where you're living at, all right? With the preparation that the next two floors are going to be rented out. So when you're fixing a place up, make sure you fix it up toward tenants living on the second and third floor. You feel me? That's what you do. Now, as you move out of your parents, okay, you still on the 50% budget. You're working your two jobs, right? Now, you need, now what you do, you have to figure out how much it's going to cost you to go to college. See what I'm saying? How much it's going to cost you to go to college. Now, the first thing you have to do is make enough money so that you don't have to work the two jobs. That's the first thing you have to do. Now, you have the first property rented out. You go get another one and another one. All right? Now, we're only talking $10,000 a year. All right? So if you get one property where you're getting $1,000 a month on one property, and another property where you're getting $1,000 a month off another property, you can rent two rooms out for $500 a month. That will give you $1,000 a month. That's $12,000 a year. You do that for two properties. You buy two properties. You do not need to work those jobs anymore. But you still keep yourself on the 50% budget. That's a lifetime issue right there. Stay on it. Never get off the 50% budget. Stay on the 50% budget so that no matter how much you make, half of your earnings is in your pocket. It's to invest in something. Now, after you get the first two properties, you can go get two more if you want. That would give you, instead of $20,000 a year, now you're making $40,000 a year. All right? Now you have enough money to go to college, do whatever you want to do. Do what I'm coming from? You want that brand new car? You can do that too. You see what I'm saying? You have enough money to do all that, and you don't have to work no more. You can literally retire with $40,000 a year if you want to. You understand what I'm saying? Or you can keep this particular system going until you're making $1 million a year, $2 million a year. It's up to you. You know what I'm saying? Now that you have the money and you have a system that you can make as much money as you want, now you have to ask yourself, what am I going to college for? See what I'm saying? You can go to college for business to learn more about business. You can go to college for, if you like science, you can go to college to be a scientist. See what I'm saying? Learn how to work science. Learn how to do science. You go to college for anything that you want. Whatever you really, really like to do, you can go to college for that. You have the money to go to college for that, and you won't be in debt because you can pay up front for what you're trying to do. That's what we call that's what the 50% budget will do for you. You have to, now adults, let's switch this over to the adults now, okay? You're living from paycheck to paycheck. You're broke. You got kids running around. I mean, it's a trip, two jobs. It's hard to find even one job. You know what I mean? So you're saying to yourself, how in the world am I going to do this? Well, it's very difficult because when you first come out the fall, if you don't know what I'm telling you now, you're going to be in that situation. Some of you are making $40,000, $50,000 a year and living paycheck to paycheck. It don't make sense. You see what I'm saying? Because you're asleep. Now, we're trying to wake you up. Now, check this out. Okay? No matter how much you're making as an adult, I know it's tough. Some of you can't stay 2% out of your money. That's because you're caught up in the matrix. First of all, you have to come out of the matrix. That's number one. No more fast food. No more fast food. Because you think you're saving money by hitting Mickey D's in those places, but you're not. It costs $10 a meal in there for one person. You do that two times a day, right? That's $20 a day times three. That's $600 a month. Hello? And times 30, that's $600 a month. You're spending $600 a month eating fast food. Do you understand what I'm saying? And if you're running two or three children like that, you'll spend $1,200 a month at Mickey D's. No more going out, okay? You got to start collecting coupons. Guys, if you don't know how to collect coupons, talk to your sister, your aunt. They know how to collect those coupons. Your sister's been collecting coupons for a minute. They're very frugal for saving that money. Collect the coupon. When you buy your clothes, no more name brand clothes. You don't have to buy name brand clothes. $100 for a pair of sneaks? I don't think so. You don't have to do that no more. You're smarter than that now. Sneaks are sneaks. If you check those $100 sneaks, they're made in Taiwan, made in China. The same sneaks that you get at Payless, you're buying with somebody's name on it for $100. It's the same pair. It's the same sneaks. You understand what I'm saying? I mean, I'm starting to wake you up now. The people with these businesses, they don't get mad at me, but I'm waking you up. I want you to wake up and smell a coffee. Go to they got secondhand stores that you can go in and buy jeans. You can buy name brand jeans at secondhand stores. Cut them up, put the holes in them. They got jeans that look like people are buying jeans off the rack for $75 that look like somebody done worn for 2 years. I'm telling you. You're caught in the mix. They got you buying any doggone thing. They got you wasting your money on stuff that you don't have to do it. And if you have children, the children are under peer pressure from their peers. Now, think about that. These children don't know nothing, but that's who they're following. Know nothing is a follower, know nothing. You know, Buddha is blind leading the blind. You have to break your children out of that mindset. You know what I mean? They have to get out of the mindset where they can't worry about what other people are thinking about, what they're wearing and what they have on. That's hard when you're in school. I mean, children talk about, children could be mean. I mean, whoa. These children can really, really be mean. They'll talk about you like a dog, you know? It's a class system set up, okay? Racism going on in the school. And it's not just between black and white. You got racism going on between white and black. That's what the class system does. The class system promotes racism, all right? Not that you hate another race, but you are one class, they're of another class. That's racism, okay? And we have to expand the term racism so that you know what racism is when you see it, and you can begin to fight against it, especially if you go into politics. You become a politician, you want to help people and things of that nature. A lot of politicians go into politics because they actually want to help people. And some of them go into politics because of the racism. Yeah, okay? They're in a particular class and they want to make sure that class is preserved and all that kind of stuff. You know what I mean? They want to make sure that the racism continues because that's how they was raised, all right? I used to have a class in India that United talk about all the time called the Untouchables. And they used to talk about them like a dog, but they run a class system right here. They're doing the same thing right here. You know, I'm just saying, you know, you have to wake up. Well, we don't have to wake up and smell the coffee. We got to wake up and literally drink the coffee. We're in bad shape. I'm saying we, because, you know, we all fall right in that category, you know. But this is a way out, all right, for the adult. No, you can't eat out. You have to find a way to cook. Go to the supermarket, find a way to cook. Use your extra money to buy an extra freezer or something. Now, if you don't have a big extra freezer in your house, you're losing money. You have to have a way to freeze your fruits and vegetables and stuff, you know. If you freeze your fruits, right, you're like that, you have to make fruit smoothies, because once they thaw out, they don't really taste the same. They're kind of spongy, you know, once you freeze them. But you freeze them and you make smoothies for the children to drink, you know. That's what I'm saying, you know. You can buy large quantities of juice, orange, apple, grape juice, you know, so that you're not running to the store buying these little bottles, $2, you know. You have to become frugal. This is for your adults. You have to become frugal. You have to really watch what you're doing. Do you know where I'm coming from? Now, you only need 26 grams of protein per day. That's all you need. So if you cut back on the meat, you don't have to buy as much meat. If you could feed your children 26 grams of protein a day, you can cut back on the meat. And they won't come around. If you're giving them breakfast and they eat eggs, they don't need bacon and stuff with the eggs. That's too much protein. You see what I'm saying? If you're giving them eggs or something in the morning, or if they're having a little cereal or whatever they have it, you know what I'm coming from? If you're giving them cereal, don't give them no flesh or nothing with the cereal. Just let them have the cereal. But that's not a complete breakfast. We'll talk about diet. We'll be talking about health tomorrow. Boy, we need to talk about health. That's why all of us are so sick, because we don't know anything about health or how to eat. Anyway, cut back on the meat. We're just talking about saving money right now. Do you know what I'm coming from? Now, when you're giving your children lunch, right, you don't have to give them a meat in the sandwich every day. You don't have to do that. So if you give them cereal in the morning, right, you can give them an egg sandwich in the afternoon, egg sandwich with a little juice or whatever you want to give them. You know, but a lot of times they're getting their lunch in school. So you just give them their cereal, their breakfast, whatever you're going to give them. They get their lunch in school. Now, dinner is important. Dinner is very important. They say breakfast is the first thing. Dinner is important because of the three-meal-a-day diet. The three-meal-a-day diet is terrible. But dinner will be your most important meal, because this way you can get all the veggies, the green stuff, into your children. Children need those greens. I eat 5 green vegetables every day. Every day I eat 5 green vegetables, and it works for me. I call it the age reduction diet, you know. I'm getting there. My goal is to be here for 200 years. But I'm just saying. This is how, right now, we're not actually talking about how, we're just talking about cutting back on the money. Cause a lot of you are on a 3-meal-a-day diet, and you're in a hurry, so you're running to McDonald's, you can't do that if you're going to get yourself on a 50% budget. You have to start cutting back. And where you begin cutting back on the 50% budget is on your food bill. That's where you start at. Because when you get the raises on your job, the first thing that goes up, so they can get their money back, because they don't want to give you the raise, they raise the price of the food. That's why the food costs so much. Even though they give you a raise, you ain't getting no more money. What they call it? They call it inflation. You know what I mean? Who makes inflation? They do. They want their money back. They don't want to give you nothing. That's all I'm saying. Bill Clinton, he comes through. Oh, we're going to put a tax on the tobacco industry, because we want our people to cut back on smoking and all that kind of stuff. The tobacco people, they didn't pay their tax. All he did was put a tax on the people. That's what he did. Smart, telling me he taxed the tobacco company, but the tobacco company is not going to pay it. All they do is raise their prices. Cigarettes went, when I was little, cigarettes was 45 cents a pack. That's how much cigarettes was. $10 a pack now. They keep raising it. The more tax they do them, the more they raise the price. You know what I'm saying? That's what I'm talking about. So when you get your raise, you're not really getting a raise. Seems like, oh, I'll make $15 an hour. But the food went up 10-15%. So all that little money, the extra money you make is going right back in food. So you have to begin. You begin with food, all right? Now, you have to do your due diligence. You have to you have to shop a certain way, especially if you're eating flesh. You have to shop a certain way, you know. Prices go down. You say, well, I like fresh meat. I want fresh meat, you know. You can get the fresh flesh. You can have fresh flesh if you want, because the Bible, flesh and meat is two different things. So we're going to talk about that too. The Bible ain't talking meat, and the way we're calling it meat ain't what the Bible say meat is. So we're going to deal with that too. But what you need to do is you start with the meat. Okay, I would say eliminate all the other from your diet, but that's too hard for a lot of people, you know. So you start by cutting back on, you know. and dinner time sometimes, instead of giving that child that steak or chicken or whatever, you know what I mean? Add a little bean, add some bean, do the beans instead of the meat. Do the vegetables and the beans. Don't give them the meat at some dinner time. You know what I'm talking about? For lunch, well, they eat lunch in school. But you can substitute the protein. You can do the peanut butter. If the child loves the peanut, give them some other kind of nut butter, you know, to go with it. But you cut back, because meat's expensive. You cut back on the flesh. That's how you begin saving money in your diet. Now, you don't save the money to go out and buy a $200 pair of sneakers. That's not why you're saving the money. You're saving the money so that you can invest in something. Once you get to the 50% budget, you'll start having money to invest. You can put a couple of dollars over here, a couple of dollars over there. You know, like when the Bitcoin came out, or when this happened, or if you want to get down with stocks, stock is like a gamble. But if you want to do different things, you have money to do that. That's what I'm saying. All right? And if you ask yourself right now, those that are on the line, ask yourself, or those who are listening, thank you so much for calling in. I appreciate it. But those who are on the line right now, those who are listening or downloading the show, ask yourself, wouldn't it be nice if you had half the money that you've made all your life? That would be great. If you had half the money you made all your life, that would be great. Now, after you get control of your food budget, right, work on your clothing. Don't get caught up in the hype. Flavor Flav, but don't get caught up in the hype. You don't need name brands. If you want a name put on something, put your name on it. Although school children go on school, that's dangerous too, because strangers, if you got children's names on their stuff, and you know, strangers, they can call them by name. The children think they know them, you know. So it's six in one and a half dozen in the other. But you can put a family member name on there. You can put your aunt's name on, your grandma's name on your shoes. You know what I'm saying? You don't have to put a stranger's name on your shoes. You know where I'm coming from? You know what I mean? You don't have to buy a shoe with some stranger's name on. No, and this is how you begin to save money in your clothes, right? Go to the, they got secondhand stores. Now, here's a little trick, a trick that I use. They got excellent neighborhoods, upper middle-class neighborhoods. They got secondhand stores there. So, you know, everybody that lives in those neighborhoods, they ain't making that kind of money. They just, you know, they just want to be in the area because the schools are better. Because they're collecting more tax money for the schools, so the schools are better. That's why they fight to be in those neighborhoods, you know. And sure, they'd be going to secondhand stores trying to stay there. You living where you live, go to the affluent neighborhood. Those secondhand, they got clothes in there those people never even wear. They just buy them, and as they get tired of looking at them, they send them to the secondhand people. You can get brand new clothes, name brand clothes, never been worn, in upper middle class secondhand shops. These are little tricks that you can use to save that money. I'm just trying to wake you up. And adults, when you get to the 50% budget, now you're on track to buy your building to rent out. To start having some type of residual income. Okay? Here's another thing that you can do. Okay? Now, we're poor. We don't have no money. But you have friends. All right? Look, Betty Crocker make an excellent cake mix. Buy you some pans, make some better chocolate cake, put the icing on it, and sell it to your friends. Your friends will buy a couple of cakes a week off you. You know what I mean? Make some cookies. Have a little cookie sale with your children and stuff from time to time. You know what I mean? Bring in a couple of extra dollars. You can make money like that. You don't come. You understand what I'm saying? You can make up a poem. There was a guy. He was downtown with a poem. Giving a poem out, asking for a donation. People give him $1.50. This guy was making $40, $50 a day, okay, with a poem that he made, asking for donations and stuff. There's so many ways to get extra money when you're poor. See what I'm saying? Now, being poor is one thing. Being in poverty is something else. The Bible says poverty is the destruction of the poor. Poor you can have with your own. You always have poor people. But there are children coming out of school. They ain't getting no money. You know what I mean? They're poor, trying to find jobs. So that's why you got to poor with your own time. But poverty, people sleeping on the street, eating out of trash cans, nowhere to go, you know, sleeping on the bridge, poverty. That will destroy the moral compass of anybody. You know what I'm saying? You sleep on the street in the rain, your blankets and stuff. That will destroy the moral compass of almost anybody. That's what I'm saying, you know? So you don't want to wind up in a poverty situation. With the 50% budget coming out the door, right, working towards the 50% budget, working towards money to save, not money to spend. If you're living paycheck to paycheck, stop right there. Don't try to expand. Don't try to do anything. Start cutting back until you get to the 50% budget. When you get to the 50% budget, then you can think about an expansion. Right now, only thing you want to think about is saving money, all right? Now, I told you, we're talking to the adult on how to do that. If you're making $40,000 a year, right, there's no reason for you to live beyond your means. You can cut back. You can cut back a lot, so that you can save enough money to create residual income for yourself, right? Hers, you got hers. He lived in a nice little neighborhood, you know what I mean? What did he do? In his basement, he started making potato chips. Not in his basement, in his garage. He started making potato chips. A lot of these guys started in their garage making something for so that the people can buy, so that people can work and pay them for, okay? I think, Apple, or one of them guys started tech companies in their garage, you know? This is what you have to think. You need residual income. What can you make that people will buy from you? Well, if you have to make it every day, it's not residual income, it's a job. Like, if you're making cookies and cakes, that's a job. Trust me, that's not residual income. But you can make something. You can come up with, even if it's just a poem, if you can make one poem, you can make 40. Make 40 poems, turn it into a book, okay? Put it on the market. You know what I'm saying? There's so many ways. And believe me, as you sojourn in your life, you have done something that you can write about that people would love to read about. I'm telling you, everybody has done something that people would love to read about. But you have to sit down and write it up. They got tools now, editing tools and writing tools, so that the sentences will be right and everything. And then they got spell checks for everything. You know what I mean? You don't have to be a genius to write with the right part of your story. It's your story. You've been through this. You've done this. You know what I mean? And people would love to read about it. And before you know it, they're making movies out of your story. You're paid. But you have to think in terms of, how can I get residual income? You want to make money off something that you only have to make once, right? You only have to buy a building once to make money off of it. You have to buy that same building over and over and over to make money off. That's residual income, right? On the 50% budget. Now, where are these thoughts coming from? Holy crap, you know? It starts with the story of Joseph and the 50% budget, okay? You know what I'm saying? Now, once Joseph told Pharaoh about the 50% budget, Pharaoh was the man. everybody coming to Pharaoh for food. Even Joseph's crew, they had to come to Pharaoh for food, all because Pharaoh put his people on a 50% budget. Or Kemet would have been 4-2, because it wouldn't have been, because when the drought came. You know what I'm saying? And he had 7 years worth of grain stored up when the drought came. You know, that's what I'm talking about. So your salvation is in the Bible if you know how to read the book. This is what we do on Sunday. We teach the Bible as a code so you know how to read the book. There's a beautiful diet in the book to keep you out of the hospital, keep from being sick, you know, keep you being on medication by the time you get 40 and 50. You know what I mean? You do not, you want to go to the doctor for a checkup. If they find something wrong, there's herbs and stuff that can fix whatever's wrong with you if you're eating properly. You know what I mean? If you have something, that means you've eaten your way into it, and you can eat your way out. Okay, we're going to talk about health. That's tomorrow. We're going to talk about health tomorrow. We almost out of time. We're only about 8 minutes left here. But, okay, let's do a recap. Okay? We're talking about the 50% budget. Every Thursday, we're going to be talking about, you know, how to get out of the hole, man. And a lot of us living from paycheck to paycheck. You got to get out of the hole. We're going to be talking about this until it sinks in. All right? Every Thursday, we're going to be talking about the budget and what the Bible said about the budget. I'm going to pull other passages from the Bible as well. But the story of Joseph, that's where it all begins, with the 50% budget. You see what I'm saying? They got economic stuff in there that will help you as a people. Okay? That's the story of Moses. Okay? How in the story of Moses will help us as a people? At the end of the story, what did Moses do? Okay? He set up a centralized banking system for his people. Okay? The Levites, they became the bankers. And the people brought their money, 10% or whatever they had, to the Levites. He was able to build roads and do stuff for his people. See what I'm saying? That's the problem with a lot of these churches. You know what I mean? And there's no way in the world that these mega churches in any neighborhood, somebody should be sleeping on the street. It's just, there's no way that should happen. You know what I'm saying? Because they're not following what Moses did. If they were following the Bible, they would be setting up a centralized banking system for their people, and nobody in their congregation should be poor or sleeping on the street. Okay? Because there's enough money coming in to set up a situation to take care of that. One person that tried to do that pretty good, that was Father Divine. He did a pretty good job trying to take care of the people with the money that was coming in. Food and clothes and all that. This is what he was about, you know? These people are waiting on handouts from the government. All the money they're raking in, they're getting handouts from the government to go to the people. You understand what I'm saying? I'm not saying there's nothing wrong with that. You know what I mean? Those little food pantries and stuff they got, they're great. You know what I mean? I go to them sometimes, you know? That's what I'm saying. I go to them sometimes just so I can get the food out to the children, out to my children. You know what I mean? So, I mean, you know, you have to find ways to make this money. But I'm just saying, in the Bible, if you're dealing with it as a code, there's remedy for everything. Remedy for everything. Where do you think the queen and them and the Pope, where do you think they're getting this information on how to do what they're doing? They're getting it from the book. That's why they reverence the book. You can't, every hotel you go in, they got a copy of the book. You know what I mean? In all the court system, you got to swear on the book. They reverence the book because it's the book that gave them the power. Reading your ancestors' history as a code gave them the tools to become who they were, okay? So there's things in the book that can help you. You can get a DNA awakening out of the book. Oh, boy, been there. That's what I'm saying. I can show you how to do that. We'll talk about all that stuff. Well, that's on Sunday. We're going to break this book down so that you better understand what's going on. It's DNA coding, extraterrestrial people. It talks about all that stuff. It's in the book. If you know how to read it, all that, okay? Yeah, I talk about the book all the time because I don't want people to put it down. Our children are putting the book on the side because the way they're giving it to the children, the book don't make sense. You know what I mean? It literally don't make sense. You know? And I read the book 4 times before it hit me. Wait a minute. Because I was reading it as a religious book. I'm saying Jesus wasn't a Christian. That means this is not a Christian book. That means that the Christians are using this book. Okay? But it's not a Christian book. Okay? If the way the story came out, Jesus wasn't Hebrew either. You know what I mean? The whole thing is kind of interesting when you go through the story as a code book. The codes of Moses. They have the codes of David. You know, David starts the code off. He starts the whole thing off with Psalm 82 and Psalm. See what I'm saying? The book of Psalms. He starts the whole thing off. You're all God. That's the opening key. That's the key to unlock the book. You are all gods. You know what I'm saying? That's the key. Once you accept that, dealing with your potential, you know, you put that key on all the books, and believe it or not, the information will begin to unlock. The information will open up for you. That will unlock the codes in these books, okay? The revelation all the way through, it unlocks the codes in everything. Once you put that key on there, okay, men and women of God. And that will keep you from being tricked to some mystery up there. No mystery up there. The Bible tells you what's going on, you know? Whoever's the leader of the land, whoever's in charge of the country, that's the God that they want you to swear your allegiance. Just that simple. You don't go against the king. King will cut your head off. You know what I mean? Very few people even get to see the king or the queen. You know what I mean? The ones that's in charge, whoever's in charge. You know what I mean? I mean, I ain't going to go too far into that because we basically dealing with economics here. But I like every day to make reference to the book because that's how powerful the book is. And 99% need to know how to read this book or you're going to always be the 99%. You know what I'm saying? You don't have to be the 99%. The 99% have more power than the 1%. But you only have power through knowledge, through wisdom, through understanding. Okay? So you have to get that understanding in order to do what you have to do. This planet is supposed to be a paradise. The system in the United States, it's supposed to be a paradise. That's what President Hansen and them, the founding fathers. Oh, well, I only got about 10 seconds here. I'm starting off with an mouth here, but 50% budget. Think about it. Work on it. And I'm going to close out. You know, I have walked the path of divine energy today and did not break the universal law of reap what you sow. All energy went out for a divine purpose, and I will reap what I have sown this day. All that I have put out, I eagerly embrace its return. So let it be written, so let it be written. We got 1 minute. Why do we say reap what you sow? Why is that so important? That's science. If you put the two chemicals together, you're gonna reap a reaction. If you sow two chemicals together, you're gonna reap a reaction. You put math on it to control the reaction. That's science. We've been dealing with science for millions of years. They just changed the name so that you can't relate it to your past history. Read what you sow is science. With that, I want to say love is the act and make others feel good. So go out and have a feel good day. Day and tomorrow. With that, much love. We'll chip that tomorrow. Much love.